see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, love of my life, I am crying, I am not dying, I am dancing.
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore what's emerging in this consciousness, in this revolution of spirit that seems to be happening everywhere on the planet. I mean, everywhere we look, there's people having awakenings and revelations and connections to things beyond themselves in a way. And tonight's guest is very much a part of that. For those who thought this might be a show with Joseph Chilton Pierce, I did talk to Joseph, and he said he was unable to do that, but I will have him back or on in a few weeks, so I'll let people know about that. But tonight's guest is someone I'm very excited about and happy to talk to. His name is Paul Selig, and he's written a book called I Am the Word. Is that right, Paul, the book?
That's right, uh-huh.
And he's a channel, and I think I've explored channeling on this radio show before, and actually it's channeling is sort of a great analogy of the radio itself, where people pick up frequencies of other beings and in a way use their body to communicate these higher levels of wisdom and bring in energy, and Paul's work is very much about that. So how should we introduce you, Paul? I mean, you're a channel for, uh-huh. for, I know these guys don't have a name, but
they come through as a collective energy, and they call themselves the Word. And I think some of that's for my benefit. I'm not that interested in sort of keying into personality, but that's how they come through. So when I ask them who they are, at this stage of my work, they say we are the Word. At other times, I've worked with guides who've come through by name, but this is a collective, and they dictate the books that I work with now, and they work with my groups, and hopefully they'll talk with us.
Well, they will, and I do want to say that Paul and the Word guys and those that group of channel being will be at the ARE this Friday, that's February 4th, for a free introductory session and attunement, and that's at 241 West 30th Street in New York City on the second floor, Friday, 7 p.m. So if you're listening in the area, please come down and experience this, because I've experienced this, and what I do like about what you're doing is there's a sensation that I felt quickening and acceleration. How would you describe what people feel?
Well, I think people feel what they feel, but you know, my background was originally as an energy healer. I mean, I was also a playwright, and I work in academia, so I have this odd life. But I needed something that I could feel palpably, and my first experiences with spirit were actually very palpable, and I studied a form of energy healing that was palpable. So when the guides work with folks, for the most part, they come through with energy. And yeah, there is a lifting of frequency, but it's often very focused, and they do very focused work, you know, on individuals, but also on large groups of people.
Well, we will hear from those people soon, but when you say something was palpable, can you describe the physical sensation?
Well, I mean, when I work, you know, there are different ways that I work. When I hear, you know, and when I initially began to hear, I used to hear as if somebody were literally pressing their lips against my forehead and impressing the words into me, and I don't have that experience anymore. But the energy that the guides come through with when they work with the frequency of the Word, most people say that they can feel and experience. So whether or not they're bringing through energy to attune people, or they're opening up people's third eyes, which they seem to do a lot of, or working at the back of the neck, which they do a lot of, the energy usually feels like a current moving through the body, and it's usually very loving, and often they'll work with the frequency they call love. Very often they work with the frequency they call the Christ consciousness or the Christ frequency. But, you know, everything seems to have a slightly different gradation or sort of acceleration or vibration to it. But it's usually something that people can experience, and even people that aren't used to doing energy work. And I'm grateful for that because, you know, my own background didn't include any of this stuff. And frankly, if I hadn't had an experience with it that was something that was physical for me, I might have been very dismissive of the whole thing.
Right. And you know, you really put yourself out there in channeling, and it's a huge exercise in trust that, mm-hmm. you know, that you sort of have with this unseen reality. And it's beautiful to see how much you do open yourself up and trust this energy, because for me it's almost like a proof that there is only energy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's...
Yeah, I do know. I do know what you mean. I mean, when I was originally working years ago, I was much more interested in the energy that was coming through and whether or not it was something that could be physically experienced by a room full of people. And the language and the information that was coming through was really only there initially in support of the energy. And it's sort of evened out a lot now because the guides, I've cleared up, I think, enough that the guides are actually able to use me more readily to speak through. So, you know, now they'll often lecture or they'll dictate chapters that really don't require any editing. I mean, it's pretty fascinating to me how the whole thing has happened. But I think that feeling the energy is, for me, what makes this very real. And that's above and beyond any words that come out of my mouth, even though the information that they come through seems to be, you know, helping a lot of people at this point.
Well, actually, that is why I like them, and that's I do feel they are helping. They are here to do something for the planet, for individuals, to uplift us. When you say they open the third eye, I didn't realize that. Can you describe what that is and how that happens?
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that's what they're doing. But what they're doing, when I do groups, they often do a lot of work that seems to be focused on both the heart center and the third eye. And they're bringing in energy through the crown center. But my assumption is that they're opening up the third eye. I mean, occasionally, you know, when they bring in the energy, they'll explain what they're doing, which is they're working on they'll call it our knowing, our ability to know, as opposed to, which they describe as being quite different than thinking. But yeah. A lot of the people that I work on end up, you know, developing the ability to see frequency or to see energy. So my assumption is that a fair amount of what's going on is also cleaning out some of the muck that's been prohibitive.
Well, that's exciting. Maybe on Friday... they could do some of that, and people can start to tap into this level of seeing.
Yeah. I mean, it often just happens. You know, it's funny. The last group I did at ARE, at the end of the group, they just, you know, I just taught people how to begin to see the energy field, which is not something that I'm that expert at, but it's something that we all have, I believe, the innate ability to do. And once you've been working in the frequency for a while and your third eye is really spinning, it's a lot easier. It seems a lot easier. But I don't know if that's their investment, you know, with us. I mean, my guides talk a lot in some in the first book, but some in the second book that they channeled about psychic ability. And essentially, they just claim that that's our birthright, but they talk about it very much as something that emerges ideally as a result of spiritual growth, you know, that it comes with the awareness and that it's not just there for, you know, it's not just tricks. It's not just stuff to play with. And
no,
I find that
not.
Helpful, too.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's not just... Yeah, I can read someone's mind. It's like, no, the whole process is about our evolution as spirits and
that's
coming
right.
into something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when you
that's exactly right.
Yeah, but when you say what you said before, that sometimes mm-hmm. that you talk a little bit about seeing the energy, can you tell me like how you say that or what you say?
Well, when I teach people how to do that,
yeah.
really, it's just teaching people how to use their eyes. And this is something that my guides didn't teach me. It's something that a woman taught me many years ago who came up to me in a restaurant one night and said, boy, you're really psychic. And then showed me how to see energy fields, and I was indebted to her and still am for that exercise.
Well, can you show me, can you tell me now? Can you give me
Sure. I mean, I can tell you, but it's not much, it's a lot more interesting to do it and to do it with a group of people. But really, very simply, and frankly, you need somebody before you to do it.
Right.
Ideally, a neutral background in a dim light. But mostly
right.
when you look at people and you look at them directly, you're focusing your eyes on them. And quite simply, if you find somebody and you put them, say, 6 feet before you against a neutral backdrop, and preferably in some dim light because that'll be easier, and you just focus on the little, I don't remember if there's a name for it, the little ridge above the lip, and you allow your vision to soften until you're seeing as close to 360 around you, you'll usually begin to see, you know, the energy moving around the shoulders or up the top of the head. And a lot of people find that they can even see the crown chakra, or they can see, you know, some people see the other chakras. But, I mean, really almost on first vision. The nice thing about doing an exercise like that in a group is that everybody gets to compare notes. So
right.
people are saying, yes, I see it over the left shoulder, I see it over the head, she's running green. You know, and a lot of these people see more than I do. I mean, I can see stuff with my eyes closed. But that's primarily when I'm reading, and really more reading psychically than channeling, unless the guides want to give me information visually, and they frequently do. But what I've been seeing since I was, you know, in my mid-20s, when I first started to open up, are these, you know, these flecks of light around people, and, you know, later, you know, these orbs that just show up that are really quite beautiful and are in the space, and I can't always explain them. You know, my little dog, you know, and I know she's hiding under the bed because I can see a little purple light on the top of the bed, and I know exactly where she is, and it's clearly part of her auric field that's showing up. And this is just sort of everyday stuff, but there are people that are far more advanced than I am and see tons more and can diagnose and read. I'm more of a physical empath. That's one of my abilities. And that's different. I feel in my body, and I can, you know, tell you where you or your great aunt or your sister in Dubuque, you know, is holding their energy blocks, because I'll be able to feel it myself.
But when you talked about orbs, are these the same orbs mm-hmm. that are now showing up on digital cameras?
I think so. You know, I mean, I don't see them all the time, and there's other times I've seen them a lot. They're startlingly beautiful when I see them, and I don't really know what they are, except that they're conscious. They're clearly consciousness.
They're beings. Yeah. They're conscious, like me and you are conscious.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's not just a light flashing in the room. When I see little specks of light around people, and that's how I started to open up clairvoyantly after I first had this sort of, you know, rooftop experience in my 20s, I started seeing these flecks around people, you know, and I knew that they were something. I just didn't know what they were, and I don't know what they are, nor do I necessarily know what the orbs are, except
right.
when they come, and they're usually really like a brilliant cobalt blue. Sometimes I've seen green, sort of a lavender, I think, but you know, they're just sort of there, and they're startlingly beautiful, and there's detail inside, but they come so fast, or my eyes can't comprehend them for more than a second. I mean, one of the tricks with seeing energy is the moment you try to focus on it, you don't see it anymore. When you just sort of let it be, you know, you can see more. But again, you know, I'm sure that you've got other guests that can really go into detail with this. All I can talk about is my own experience, and this stuff for me in many ways was peripheral, and was sort of the yellow brick road that I followed in order to access the abilities that I do seem to have and demonstrate today. And these other things are kind of like there, and I'm appreciative of them, but it's not really my work. So I'm not the guy to go to learn how to see auras.
It's part of a whole, I think, spirit approach to the nature of reality. All these things, everything that you're describing, you know, you may be good in one subject, but not in another. But it's part of a whole education of spirit.
Right. It is, and I'm extraordinarily grateful for it. I mean, I was raised an atheist, and or I say I was an atheist. My mom says we were agnostic. The bottom line is, you know, we sort of believed that people who went to church were stupid. You know, I mean, that's was how I was raised on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and I certainly don't think that anymore. You know, but I needed experience that had phenomena attached to begin to allow me to trust. And I also know, in retrospect, I was desperately hungry for a spiritual life that I had never been given permission to have by any institution or any person. So when I began to have this, and suddenly there was accompanying phenomena, I really felt like I had no recourse but to follow that. And I've taken some detours, but I've been following it for a while. And I think that you're absolutely right. I think this stuff is, at this point, available to everybody. I think that there's a real mass change of consciousness happening at this time. And I think that, well, from what I think doesn't matter, what my guides say is there's a lot less resistance to this level of growth than there ever has been. And what used to take lifetimes does no longer takes that. You know, the ability that we have at this time to shift our frequency, I think, is unparalleled. But that's what I get.
It does seem easier for me, even when I tune into different people. My maybe because I've been working at it, but the images of people and the intuitions I get seem clearer for me. And but the big question, I think, is it possible, and maybe it's from you or your guides, their opinion, that we can all actually have a planet, a civilization where this is the norm? Is this where we're coming? I mean, this is the hope and dream, but is it possible?
I hear it is happening, it is happening, it is happening. When you were asking that, that's what I heard, is it is happening, but it's a process. Uh-huh. But I also hear, but it's a process. And I should probably say, just because if you've got listeners, you're going to hear me muttering to myself. And, you know, when I hear my guides, I tend to whisper the words to myself and then repeat them. So
you're hearing them as the same time you're saying them.
Exactly. As it's the dictation is live. So I'm not hearing it, repeating it in a whisper, and then repeating it aloud. I hear it as the whisper is being formed, and then I repeat in a louder voice. And I do that primarily because I work with groups, and that's what I got used to doing in order to be heard.
No, I was just wondering, do they then control, not control, but are they accessing your voice box, your speaking as they?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I do demonstrate aspects of what people call physical mediumship. My body's used a lot. And you know, and again, there's physical phenomena attached to what I do. I mean, people call me a healing medium because they work with energy that people can feel. However, I don't think that they're using my voice box directly. Although, you know, there are times when I'm either A, really tired, or have just hit another place of surrender, where there is a guide that comes through that does operate with an accent, and I was initially moderately freaked out about that, but you know, it happens, and that feels like it's a much more direct channeling. Not that the other stuff isn't direct, but I do seem to be bringing through an aspect of personality with it, as opposed to what has been described as a collective energy. And this one guide, and he comes through with a bit of a Welsh accent. He's more of a poet than the others, and he dictated, I think, two of the chapters directly in the book I Am the Word. The chapter on creation was all his, because he always talks about song. You know, we're all singing. He talks about vibration as singing.
Oh, we're singing another song. Yes, I've heard that. It doesn't matter, but what would you say his name could be? I mean, I know it doesn't matter.
I don't want to go there, you know.
It doesn't matter anyway what anyone's name is. It's the energy.
When I ask them, they say, we are the Word, and, you know, and he's of that. So, you know, the idea of breaking stuff down into personality, I mean, I have to say, I don't know whether that's something that we want and we get attached to. I don't get a sense that they could care less, you know, whether, you know, we call them Aunt B or, you know, Uncle Sam. I don't think that. And to my mind, and some of this, you know, was when I was first introduced to the New Age stuff, and I was extraordinarily cynical about channeling and a lot of other stuff, and I was never, you know, a very good New Ager. But there was a lot of, I think, spiritual materialism going on, and everybody was, you know, my guide is this and my guide is that, and it was kind of like, you know, whose big brother is going to kick your big brother's butt? And I just thought it was all kind of silly, you know? And
yeah.
You know, Reiki people weren't talking to the Marielle people, and it was just a lot of stuff, and it was just like, wow, this is kind of wild. So I just don't go there anymore, and I think if they want to be known by a different name, it's going to come through them and not through my request.
You're right. It doesn't matter. I think it just gives credentials, but the real credential is in the feeling and the vibration and the message, of course, and and I think that's really, I think what people have to go by. It is a kind of materialism to say, oh, this is this, and that means this, like everyone's channeling Michael or Metatron, and it doesn't matter. It's the message, not the messenger.
I think it's the frequency. You know, my guides come through, and they say that they are of and working with the Christ consciousness, and in the book, they describe themselves as teachers, missionaries, and ascended masters. I mean, that's, you know, and I don't think that they're all of those things necessarily, but this is sort of collective energy. So I'm okay enough with that, you know, and to be honest with you, you know, I had to swallow that when it came through. You know, I was more than happy to just trust that, you know, the guides who worked with me when I was working as an energy healer were now, you know, somehow giving voice to information. And then initially I was caught up in names, and I certainly got some high level ones, and they may well be who we're working with, but then people get attached to that stuff, you know, and I just don't think that's the point of the work anymore. You know,
no,
this work I feel is universal. It's not just for the people who go to one camp.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I've met lots of channels over the last 30 years. I mean, my great introduction to all the spirituality was through Ramtha, who's this channel being. And but you somehow make yourself more available in a way where I'm always interested how these aspects of the mind, so you're it's like an incredible amount of trust that you are actually believing in yourself enough to know that it's not you creating this, but you are available to something else.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. I used to be, you know, I've gone through a lot around this stuff, and you know, one of the most important things to me always was that I never harmed anybody or never misled anybody. I did never want to do that. And the other thing is I have a very nice career in academia that I don't need to mess with, you know. So the fact that I'm now sort of saying, okay, here I am, and this is an aspect of my life and part of my work here, you know, was challenging, but I was also supported by a lot of people in doing that. But initially, when this stuff started and I started hearing stuff, first it happened when I was working as an energy healer, and I was volunteering at a place called the Manhattan Center for Living that Marianne Williamson had founded, and I was working mostly with people with AIDS and cancer. It was, you know, the height of the AIDS epidemic, and I began to hear things for my clients. So if I had my hand on some guy's heart and I heard Herman, and I'm not thinking of any Herman, I finally learned to say, I'm hearing Herman, or who's Herman? And they would say, my lover, my father, my son, my dog, whatever. But there began to be auditory information being given to me, and I learned to trust it primarily from ignoring it and then paying the consequences for it. You know, I remember having a client on the table, you know, at a different place years later who, you know, I kept hearing broke back. And the guy got on. I didn't want to say, you know, the guy broke his back. He doesn't have a broken back. He got off the table. He said, why didn't you talk about my broken back? And so I learned that my ignoring it was my ego. And frankly, any messages that I get, if I'm channeling or doing a psychic reading, are not for me. They're for those being those in attendance, so whether it's the client or the group. So the level of trust thing, I mean, that's been acquired, but the way that I'm channeling now only kicked in about 3 years ago, I think, which is full lectures, chapters, and books, and I was completely not expecting it. I was doing a group one night, and my guide said to somebody there that I wouldn't start to believe the work that was coming through until I saw it written down. And I had just started recording these groups after doing them for years, and I never liked to listen to the recordings because it was sort of so weird to hear myself whisper and repeat stuff. But I made myself listen. I transcribed the lecture. It was a 5-page essay. It required no editing at all. It just came out. And I was pretty astonished. And I typed the thing up, and I threw it up on my web page, and I did that for a month. And then shortly thereafter, they said, we have a book to write, and we'll do it in 2 weeks. Wow. And I think the dictation of the book, which took 2.5 weeks, and it's only because, you know, I took a day off here and there or some time, that, and they said it would be published and it would be, they laid out the whole thing, and the whole thing happened exactly as they said. And, you know, I don't care how smart or articulate I may be, I don't think I'm capable of dictating a 300-page book that requires no editing. And that's exactly what I Am the Word is. I mean, the only things that were cut from that text were questions that were asked by the woman who was on the phone during all of those readings. And occasionally, because she had the guides as a captive audience, would say, you know, what do you think of this or what do you think of that? And it was personal information about her life. Her name is Victoria Nelson. She's a wonderful, wonderful scholar and writer. And
I appreciate you sharing all that. And it seems like there is something. I do want to talk to them, but I also have another question for you, in the sense where, sure, if you, as you let these beings kind of use your consciousness or something, now what happens to you where, when they're like sort of whispering through you, there's you're hearing it, but it's like a part of you that's also speaking it and hearing it. Yeah. And so is there something about like a transcendent identity that happens as more and more of this takes place in your life? You know, like you're...
I think, yes. I think I know what you're yes, asking. Because there's, I mean, I think if I'm correct, you're asking if engaging in this process is altering my sense of who I am in the world.
Yes,
absolutely. But I think that I'm becoming or evolving as the aspect of myself that my guides call this frequency, and my guides say this is who we all are in truth. I mean, there are certain things that I've learned from them, which is, you know, that I do trust, and they've said point blank, you know, A, you can't lie, because if you're lying, you're coming from fear. That there is no lie that is not born out of fear. So it's really hard for me to lie. And the other thing that they say is that if you take an action based in fear, you're creating more fear. And if you take an action based in love, you're contributing to love. And pretty much they said, look at your life and look at every choice you've made that was born out of fear and see what it created. And it created more problems.
Mm.
So I do think that I've integrated some of this, not all of it. I don't think I'm nobody's guru, that's for sure, nor do I want to be. I'm happy to be the teacher who works with them, and or the empath, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I do think it's worked with me. I think that I operate with much more grace than I used to. And I'm not somebody, and I think this is probably true for many, many of us, I didn't go into spirituality because my life was going so well at all. I mean, I hit a wall, and, you know, finally, you know, on the other side of this, there was this other possibility. And, you know, I was really blessed because I had a couple of big experiences early on that were very transformational for me.
Yeah, and we've talked about that, and there's actually a video that's going to be going up on YouTube where Paul talks about some of those experiences. But one more question I just have for you is that as these beings use, let's say they're using your body more and more, speaking through you more and more, what happens to your consciousness? You become more and more of the witness? I mean, is that sort of the
fear
of letting
go? While I'm channeling, what I'm usually doing is waiting for the next phrase and hoping I can hear it. You know, I mean, and, you know, occasionally you'll hear me say other word, and that's because I'm not getting the word that they're trying to come through, and they'll often replace it with something else. You know, but I'm the act of channeling. A, I'm running the energy, so I'm in the frequency, which is wonderful, and I like feeling it being in the frequency. I mean, people ask me how it feels after I channel and if I'm exhausted, and I always say it feels like I've been swimming in the ocean. I mean, that's sort of that great feeling of being, you know, sort of achy but cleaned and, you know, and shiny. So there's that experience. Now, and that's when I'm really, when they're lecturing, it's like that. When I work on people in groups, or if my guides are working on people in groups, I become more present, and it's much more like being in conversation. So I can tune into somebody's energy field and say, okay, what's going on in your left knee? You know, and they'll say, well, I had a broken left knee. So the guides will go to work on it, and then it's much more of a collaboration. But for the most part, when I'm either dictating the text, or if I'm channeling lectures, I'm there only as the radio. The only difference between me, I think, and perhaps some other people that do this, because I'm not a trans channel, is I question it as it's coming through, often to the point where it's interruptive, and then I've been known to get a bit chastised, you know, which is essentially, we'll answer your questions later, let us finish. And they're very polite about it, but, you know, but if I were to hear something that would frighten me or challenge me too much, I think the likelihood is that I would say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I want to be clear that I'm tuned into a high source. Now, I trust the energy that my guides come through in the cadence of the voice and all of that, so it's not a big deal. But I also think that they can't take me necessarily beyond what my consciousness can accept and hold. I mean, I think there's a reason I'm not channeling scientific information and somebody else is. You know, I would bother.
But also, they're also here to push you beyond what you can accept and hold in a way, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they've been doing it. I mean, I'm talking here with you. If somebody told me 20 years ago I was going to do this, I would think that they were, you know, pretty nuts. But, yeah, I trust it enough, you know, and I'm really fortunate. You know, there have been people that have been coming to my groups for, you know, pretty steadily for many years. So I have a core of people who've been doing this work and are supportive of the work and have had their lives changed by it. And that helps me to trust it, too. But the group, for me, is a laboratory, and it's a way for me to continue to trust because I get to be in the energy every week. And that's what allows me to change.
And if people want to know about those groups, you can go to Paul's website, which is paulselig.com, right? PAULSELIG.com. And there's information about you there and the groups and all that. But, okay, now let's talk to your guys. And, I mean, I'm interested in what they have to say. As far as they're saying there's this transformation and everyone's aware of their consciousness, but well, like, what do we need to do, and when will this happen, and what's in the way of it happening? That's kind of a question I have for them.
Well, it was a few questions, so I'm going to see what I can get.
Yeah, see what you
can. We will tell you one thing at a time, the fear of being changed. The fear of being changed, of being in transformation, is the obstacle. That's the only obstacle. And that's the only obstacle, but it's fear. It is fear as mankind transforms itself. as mankind transforms itself at this frequency, as this frequency we call word, we call word, which is the frequency of Christ consciousness, which is the frequency of the Christ conscious, the obstacle is released. The obstacle is released. You choose the time. You choose the time. You are always choosing the time. You are always choosing the time. You have the right to. You have the right to, as a human being. As a human being, you have the ability. You have the ability to create. To create, if you want to create more fear. And if you want to create more fear, that is your birthright. That is your birthright. We will wait. We will wait. We will tell you this. We will tell you this, the trials that you face. The trials that you face as a planet will be incurred by your fear. By your fear, not by anything else. Not by anything else. The choice, of course, is yours. So the choice, of course, is yours. You. They're saying you. The choice is you.
Okay, let's go beyond fear. Let's forget about fear, and let's move into the unknown with joy and excitement and creativity. Let's talk about that.
We can talk about that, but what's the question? They're saying we can talk about that, but what's the question, correct?
The question is, what do we need to do to bring in this opposite of fear? How can each of us be more of who we are?
We can tell you the decision must be made. The decision must be made in you that it's possible, that it is possible, and then you must decide. And then you must decide that it can be brought to be, that it can be brought to be. You will be attuned. You will be attuned to the frequency as you require it. As you require it, and then you can attune others. And then you can attune others, however, the decision to be whole. The decision to be whole as realized as your true self, self is created by you, That is the fear. That is the fear, and once that is there, the choice has been made. This planet will shift. We cannot do the collective work. But we cannot do the collective work right without the individual choice. And that is the misnomer. They're using the word misnomer that people call global shifts. The global shift, we say, is in process, as many people are choosing to realign their frequency, and the benefits of this. And the benefits of this are what you say. However, joy is fine. Joy is fine. It is escalated frequency. You do not want to do the work. Many people do not want to do the work, which is relinquishing an identity that has been created in response to decrees, societal, cultural, and habitual that keep you in your desire to be separate once you realize in truth that the Creator within you is aligned to you and can be expressed as you. You will know this is true, and it is true for everybody. Everybody is this thing. Nobody is not loved. L-O-V-E-D. Loved, period. Yes, created. Nobody is not here.
Okay, so...
And nobody is not here to be received as this frequency. We call it the word. You may choose your name. If you create from this frequency, but it is the energy of the Christ consciousness. They're saying consciousness, period.
Okay, I want to let go of my identity and be whole, and is it just deciding to do that? Is that all I need to do in this moment is forget, in a sense, who I have identified as being and desire?
Shaking my head, no, it's being received as this. It's being received as this, as you choose it. As you choose it, you create from this frequency. And as you are this frequency. It is you. It is you in experience. In experience, it becomes what you do. It becomes what you do and who you are, because it cannot not be. The choice that you make to be received. the choice that you make to be received as yourself will call to you the energies, will call to you the energies you require to shift you. You require to shift you, so the decision is essential. So the decision is essential. We do not bypass free will. We do not bypass free will. We are not allowed. We are not allowed, nor would we choose to. Nor would we choose to. People want to be where they are. People want to be where they are. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this at a certain level. At a certain level, that they are the one in choice. That they are the one in choice. But the choice that can be made now. But the choice that can be made now, we would say, is not clear. Is not clear. And we are trying to make it clear to people. And we are trying to make it clear to people. To people so that they can operate. So that they can operate with the new information. With the new information that is available now. That is available now, we tell you. We tell you, you are the Word. You are the Word. You are the Christ consciousness made manifest. You are the Christ consciousness made manifest as you claim it. As you claim it, are received by it. Are received by it and work with it. And work with it in love. In love, period. Period. We are not speaking mumbo jumbo. We are not speaking mumbo jumbo. We are teaching. We are teaching what it means. What it means to become manifest. To become manifest as the self. As the self, it is the Christ itself. That is the Christ itself. Each one here is that. Each one here is that and will always be. And will always be, regardless of what you believe. Regardless of what you believe, we are choosing. We are, in other words, choosing. Choosing you to be you. To be you when we work with you. When we work with you, period. Period. Question. Interesting question.
Well, thank you for that. And I get something from that. And if I just choose my wholeness, then the wholeness arrives. And it seems like we are getting help, and the planet itself and the vibrations that we're in are assisting people in new ways that haven't been available before. So in a sense, people can choose the old, but there's something happening that's in a way beyond choice. And this is what we're welcoming at this time. Is that correct?
Yeah. They're saying, and it's interesting, what they're saying is it is allowed now, Corinne, it's allowed. It is allowed. This can all happen now. This can all happen now. It was not available prior to this time. It was not available prior to this time at this level of availability. They're saying of availability. Now it can be claimed. Now it can be claimed, but you must claim it. But you must claim it, word I am word. And they're saying word I am word, period.
So to claim it is to know it. That I am the Christ itself. Is that it?
I mean, they're saying yes, yes, and no. That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. You are the Christ itself. You are the Christ itself. To claim the power of the Word, but to claim the power of the Word, you must do this. You must do this. Claim I am Word through my body. Claim I am Word through my body. Word I am Word. I am Word through my vibration. I am Word through my vibration. Word I am Word. Word I am Word. I am Word through my knowing of myself as Word. As Word, this is the attunement to frequency. This is the attunement to frequency that you can manifest as this. Then you can manifest as this. Now everybody can do this. Now everybody can do this. You don't need the mantra. You don't need the mantra, the decree, or the saying in order to manifest, but it will shift the energy field that you are. But it will shift the energy field that you are in a way that is transmutable. There is transmutable? Correct. In a way that is transmutable. They're using the word transmutable, correct? Period.
I get that.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't. So maybe you can explain.
Well, transmutable, it means it will change the actual patterns in the body, the actual physiology,
yeah.
the transmute.
So the frequency that you are, period. That is the word. Well, that is the word made manifest. Everybody is this thing. And again, I just say everybody is this thing, period.
Well, if I was to say I am words through my body, I can also say I am the Christed awaken one in my body as well. Would that work?
Well, this is odd. I'm going to just guess what it does not resonate with the teaching we give. They're saying it does not resonate with the teaching we give because it implies ego.
To word is to be
in frequency. You are not the only Christ. You are not the only Christ. Anybody who says that is in for a very rough time.
I didn't mean I was the only one or anyone who says it. I mean it's the we are all that is what
that's
I
correct.
Meant
correct.
By that.
And that's correct. I am the Christ itself. My manifest is safe. I am the Christ itself made manifest is safe. However, However, many people would use that. Many people would use that to create specialness, to create specialness, and that is not helpful right now. And that is not helpful right now, so we've created language that we can work with. So we've created language that we can work with that will be neutral, to some, not to others, of course. But we are working with you as we can. Correct, and we teach you as we do. But I'm just going to interrupt because it sounds like what Alan's asking for is another way of claiming this, to say I am the Word. To say I am the Word is to claim your power as the frequency of the Christ. It's to claim your power and the frequency of the Christ. It's an attunement. It is an attunement to a vibration, but it's specific. That is specific. It is the dial on the radio that has been set. So if you want this frequency, this is what you tune the dial to. There are other frequencies available. And they go by other names. But the Christ consciousness, we say. Is available through many of them. We give you what we can. Period.
So there's something about the word "word," which has a non-ego identification or non-identification, that makes it cleaner, is what I get, or clearer.
Yeah, what they're saying is it's the word that we have chosen to operate through. Correct. Exactly right. That was a claim we made in frequency. So it's an attunement to a word that embodies the Christ vibration.
That is what you're claiming.
Yeah.
You attune the word as a coded frequency of those higher energies without having to actually say it out loud.
Correct.
Because it's been so misidentified over the last 2,000 years or whatever, right?
Exactly right. They're saying yes.
Okay, I get it
now. It is the encoding.
They actually particularly encoded the word with the Christed energies in a way that it wasn't encoded before. If people were to say that,
frequency of the Christ, but it was not made manifest in that. In this frequency for quite some time, was it available to everyone in fullness until now, the responsibility of this has been heralded by the crisis. In other words, this correct crisis that you will face. They're saying that you will face as a group, if you frighten yourselves enough to hurt yourselves. We don't require that, and we don't require that. The ascension of the planet was decreed many years ago. It is still happening regardless of what you do, but the availability of the frequency now, we would say, is heralded by this time, period.
So what does the ascended planet look like, if we can project, as the civilization opens up, integrates, what does an ascended Earth look like to your guys?
This is what they're saying. It is already here in a dimension that is not available yet. It is coming. It is here, but it is not seen yet. New heaven and new earth is correct. However, it is dimension. And who you are in dimension is expressed differently when you move up an octave. And that is in essence what is happening. We will tell you that there will not be war when mankind decides that. However, those of you who shift in frequency will not be party to what comes. They're saying will not be party to what comes in your creations. Because you will be operating in a higher frequency. Period.
I feel that, and what we need to do is just relinquish fear on all levels and know that we have this available, and this is coming, and it's a glorious time of love, it feels like to me.
They're saying it's a promise. It can be made. It can be made so through love, period. And they're saying period.
Mm. So I'm maybe advising them or something. They could talk about fear, but I think talking about fear generates fear, and talking about love generates love. So, so we don't need, they don't need to go there in a sense, but you
they
know,
don't really. I mean, they don't. You know, they're, this is just me, but I don't get doom and gloom. It's not. No. I don't know if I would permit it as the vehicle, but it's. You know,
no, but
I tend to be wary of that. But I agree with you. It's not about contributing to that matrix of fear.
Yeah, but just that somehow they mentioned that, which is okay.
They
can
teach did.
Any way they want. And I think there is a lot of that out there. But what I get is that it is a time of ascension. And the interesting thing that they were saying, you can ask them, is like they're saying we weren't before this time wasn't available for us. So it seems like there's an unfolding that is planned or part of a greater plan? Is there like some kind of someone out
there? I hear
there?
Yes, it was made so by intention. Correct. So what they're just saying to you is correct. You know, that's what I'm getting.
I don't want to ask like who, but is this like a mass global agreement? Because I guess my question is like, who is humanity, and what is our what is our relationship to this bigger plan? And it's not like we're unconscious to it; we're part of it. So
they're saying the memory of who you are is being made manifest in you, and that is the change. And that is the change. Don't look for it in the sky. Don't look for it in the sky. Look for it in the eyes of your brother. They say, look for it in the eyes of your brother. See the divinity in your brother. See the divinity in your brother and know your own. That is the transformation. That is the transformation when you are able to choose that. When you are able to choose that fully, you have ascended. You have ascended, but the recognition of this. But the recognition of this must be made manifest in man. Must be made manifest in man. And the obstacle, as we spoke, was the resistance to the transformation. So people are looking for things to come. Outside of themselves. Outside of themselves, the ascension is in fact in them. When the ascension is in fact in them, in everyone, it is happening across everyone. It is happening across everyone. And they're saying everyone, but those who choose to resist. But those who choose to resist are being permitted to, and it's not an easy ride. It is not an easy ride, but there is free will. Period.
Right, and there might be people who choose to resist, but I mean, for me, I mean, what I've been experiencing lately is just looking at people, and a few people I have been connected with closely, and just telling them and seeing the Christ itself, and telling them, because I'm seeing it, how big they really are, and how connected to something beyond themselves they seem to be. I'm seeing the Christ in those people, in some people, and feeling that, and it's, in a way, it's easier for me to see it in them than in myself, although I know I must have it to see it. And so I feel I'm doing something along the lines that they're talking about. Would they agree with that?
They're saying that you're doing it already when you do it for another, because you are witnessing the frequency that's reflected through you. Because you are witnessing the frequency that is reflected through you. So that escalates your own frequency. So they're saying, so congratulations. That is manifestation. When you witness the Christ in another, you are an appearance. You are, in other words, appearance of your own. It cannot be the other way. You are the same. You are the same in frequency. Know it or not. Period.
Well, that's good. No, we're almost out of time, but I've really enjoyed this little session here. And again, Paul will be channeling the word on Friday night, February 4th, at the Edgar Cayce Center. That's 241 West 30th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue at 7 p.m. It's free. Come down, experience this, and actually feel the attunement. But before I say goodbye, is there anything they want to leave us with that will help us hold on to this frequency and move with it as it starts to accelerate on the earth plane?
They're saying, I am word through my body. Word, I am word. I am word through my vibration. I am word through my vibration. Word, I am word. Word, I am word. I am word through my knowing of myself as word. I am word through my knowing of myself as word. Word, I am word. Word, I am word. See this in those before you. And then he says, see this in those before you. This will solve your problems. They're saying this will solve your problems more than you know. More than you know. Frequency will do the work with you. Frequency will do the work with you as you claim it. As you claim it. We gift you with love. And they're saying, we gift you with love. Good night. And they're saying, good night. Stop now. And they're saying, stop now. To Paul. Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I appreciate it. We are almost out of time, and that was good. So, in a way, it's almost a mantra they're asking us to say. The I am word. I am word through my body. They're asking us to say this, which is encoding the frequency of that Christed energy in just the simple word or logos.
And my experience with that has been that when you do that, because they do that in my groups frequently, then you can word through somebody else. And the energy is palpable. So when I do groups, people are wording through each other, you know, and you can feel the energy move through you. It's quite lovely.
Good. So we will word through each other on Friday and your other groups.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too. Anyone who's listening, please come down. You know, we could have a whole crowd. But no, come down. And if you're listening to this broadcast after February 4th, then look at Paul's website, paulselig.com. And he's always doing groups and workshops and probably retreats and going out to California in March. So he's putting himself out there on the scene. And thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me here.
Of course. It's fun for me to explore these realms of energies of what's coming, and I think you're part of it, you know.
So happy to be here. That's, you know, and then be worked with as deemed fit. But it's an exciting time, and thank you. Okay.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good night now.
Good night. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I'm talking to Paul Selig, and the word, his book is I Am the Word. You can get that online or on his website, paulselig.com. And you could reach me at newrealities.com and email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And this is The Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson, which is sort of what we've been talking about. So thank you for listening tonight.
Dancing along in madness, there is no sadness, only a song of the soul.